Text number. If you're in the process of moving jobs, thinking about it, or simply wishing it, you will at some stage have to break the news to your boss that you're heading to pastures new. Do you tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth when you're leaving? Is this your chance to settle a few scores? Well, with us is Owen McDermott, who is director of the Communications Clinic and head of training there, to give us some advice on how to handle our goodbyes. Good morning, Owen. Welcome.
Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
It's nice to see you. Before we get down to business, I mean, it is amazing that just when you think you're the only Owen McDermott in Ireland, along comes another one.
To steal my thunder.
To steal your thunder.
And he's slightly more attractive and a little bit more charming.
Not a million miles off you, though, in appearance. You know, the beard, the hair, it's all going on there.
Yeah, I mirror myself on him. I get to wear a suit, though, on a daily basis, which is a little different to his chosen attire.
Just as slightly, but you're still talking into microphones for a living, I suppose, in some regards. But you knew him, which is the bizarre thing.
Yeah, we were in college together, and he was in Gaeilge with me in politics, and we got on very, very well, believe it or not. And a lot of our paths have crossed through work and media, so it's interesting.
And here you are. That is bizarre. Let's talk a little bit about telling the company you're leaving. Because for a lot of people, they think that this is like, it's kind of breaking it off with a girlfriend.
Yeah, breaking up is never easy. But when I was thinking about it, I think the person that we should all have in our minds when we're deciding to leave our jobs is George Clooney.
Oh, yeah.
As we know, George got married at the weekend, but he has had a long list of very, you know, quite an arm length of ex-girlfriends. But what I found interesting in the leading up to the wedding was how positive they all were about him, wishing him well, saying, gosh, I hope it goes great. He's a gentleman. And then I thought, that's probably how we would all like it to be when leaving an employer, that they're wishing you well, they're sad to see you go, and they're positive about you. And how you kind of do that breaking off influences that. There's a quote from Macbeth that always, I think, fits with this, where it said, nothing in his life became him like the leaving of it. That kind of, if I paraphrase Shakespeare, that he had done quite a few bad things, but in death he was a good man. And that wrapping up influences how people feel about you.
Richard Nixon. I mean, you know, point in hand where everyone just say, when it comes to death, people, you'd never recognise the obituary from the newspapers of the time when the person was living. So somebody saying goodbye, what are the steps they need to take on?
Well, there's probably a temptation for them to say, so long, suckers, leave burnt bridges and scorched earth. But I think Ireland is such a small place. You know, the whole thing of 6 degrees of separation. I think it's probably only around three in Ireland.
Yeah,
that
I agree.
If you're in a close-knit industry, whether it's media, public relations, marketing, law, accountancy, pharma, you're probably going to be meeting these people again. So the idea of telling them what you really think is probably a bad one.
Yeah.
So diplomacy is a good way of going. If I can give you an example, there was a woman I was working with, started about the beginning of the year. She absolutely hated her job. She was a marketing executive in a professional services firm, wanted out, hated her boss, hated the role. And eventually she got a job in a marketing company. She was delighted, but she wanted to tell the boss, well, look, I have a couple of things to say to you. My advice was keep your powder dry. And thankfully she did, because 6 months later, her and her organisation, the new one, ended up pitching in to the new company. So it just shows that there will be the desire and you'll feel great about it. But that thing of keeping the powder dry is no harm.
What did she want to say to the boss?
Well, I think it was along the lines of, you have underappreciated me and given me very little responsibility, which was probably not quite as diplomatically as I have said it.
Yes,
but along the lines, it is interesting though, Accenture did a bit of research on why people decide to leave. You would often think it's money, but money actually doesn't even get into the top five. What it happens to be is they don't like their boss, there's a lack of development or growth, lack of recognition, lack of empowerment, where we would often think money is a driver, but actually it's that sense of belonging within an organisation that normally drives people out.
So, and a lot of it is determined by the nature of the departure. If it can be fairly amicable and less acrimonious, well then everyone's a win. But if you're leaving under circumstances whereby you feel underappreciated, underpaid and unloved, it's hard to say goodbye with any great warmth.
Yes, but you mentioned at the start of probably telling the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. There probably is a case of telling the truth and nothing but the truth. You mightn't just give them the whole truth. And that's, you know, that it will feel fantastic and it will feel, you know, that you'll feel wonderful telling them off. But actually, how long will that last for and how much benefit? I kind of would advise people to play the long game a little.
Yeah.
You'll be meeting these people again. And often, you know, in workplaces, they can be of use to you later on, whether they're clients or suppliers along the line. So I wouldn't be going down. You will meet people. There's an example for in Walmart in the States where a disgruntled employee quit, wrote a big email, pretty much taking Walmart apart and then getting very personalised in the feedback, sent it to the whole of the team. Now, I'd say they felt mighty after it, but it ended up on the internet. It was an example of something that probably was not the way to do it. And then their name is on the net and potential employers wouldn't look at that very well.
Well, that is the other thing, is that people forget that putting stuff online about your employers or what have you is it's a dangerous game to play, because it's always going to be there forever.
Forever. And emails are always going to be there forever. And so people giving feedback, people giving out about their bosses, it's always a very dangerous place to be.
Okay, and it might seem an obvious one, but what are the chief reasons for people to walk away from a job in the first place?
Well, sometimes it is the money factor. Now, yeah. Again, I would advise probably money shouldn't be the only driver. There's research that says if you get to a point of where your income has you kind of comfortable, you're not any happier by getting any money. What are the reasons, again, would be the lack of development opportunities in the job. Part of that can be actually avoided by saying, look, can I get an opportunity to get involved in other projects? Some things can be where you don't have to necessarily leave that organisation, but you can get a move to a different department, which can be equally fulfilling and interesting, but keeps you in with that group, and means that you don't have to go through probably the dreaded interview or the job hunting process. But I would, what you're trying to do is be happy in your job. You're probably going to have to be working for 40-45 years, and if you find you are unhappy and unfulfilled and there is no way of improving that there, then you look for a new role. But I'd keep the bridges there and not burn them on the way.
That's
out.
Another issue, isn't it? Trying to find a job while you're in a job without letting anyone know you're looking for a job.
Yeah, well, there's a cliche, the
double life.
There's a cliche that says it's always easier to get a job when you have a job. Mm-hmm. So it looks better on the CV, it's easier to explain and moving through. But yeah, of course, it is that little bit more difficult, particularly something like the referees. Often people would want to put a kind of a recent employer, a colleague, as one of their references. But if they happen to get a call and say, well, what's Ryan like? Can you give a bit of feedback on him? That kind of gives the game away. So even on a simple thing on a CV to avoid that is putting available on request for your referees rather than having them up top.
Yeah.
But if someone is looking for a job, what they need to be looking for is, well, what have I got to offer a potential employer? What are the types of situations that they'll require me to be good at? And where have I done it before? So beginning to piece together an evidence, examples, sense of success in the past.
Okay. What are exit interviews? I'm not familiar with them.
Oh, exit interviews are these wonderfully awful
That's
things.
That's new on me now.
Yeah. You typically find them in big multinationals, but also they're in a whole host of different organisations, but they tend to be a thing where someone is sitting down with a member of management before they leave, and the member of management's job is to find out why they're going. Now, for the manager's point of view, what you're really trying to hunt out for is, come on, give us some specifics, give us an insight, what's it like working?
Who's annoying you?
What's working, what's not? That it actually can help them become an improved organisation. So we would work with people to help them do that on the management side, and really you're looking for kind of to interrogate them in the nicest way as possible to drive it. In preparing, if employee is leaving, so the person who's going into it, again, I'd weigh up how detailed you get into it. Yeah, of course, you can give them the divil and all, but it again has to be a weigh up of what is the benefit in venting your spleen or keeping your powder dry on some things. And if we go back to it's about breaking up, and breaking up isn't easy. Mm-hmm. I'd prefer a thing of, it's not you, it's me. Yeah. And almost the Godfather quote of, I was made an offer that I couldn't refuse, is a better approach than bad mouthing any of the employers. So you can see I'm kind of leaning to diplomacy is the best way. It's probably the best strategy. And what you're trying is to maintain relationships with your colleagues and employers.
Somebody wants to know, Owen, is it worth my while telling my boss that I've been made, offered a better job with more money, to see if he can match the offer? So there's a gamble, that's the craps table of life.
Oh, yeah. And particularly if the reason why you're leaving is more money, yes, of course it can be a negotiation begins. And that's one of the things actually that drives recruiters daft, that they'll have a candidate lined up to take a job, mm-hmm. they'll have pretty much verbally agreed to it, and then they go back to their old or to their current employer and say, look, I have had this offer. And they get a counter offer, which the person says, well, better the divil you know, and end up staying with their current boss. So yes, of course, it can be slightly risky strategy, but it can be very fruitful if people play it right. And the thing is saying, look, I'm being offered this, can you match it and can you go through? And if they really want you, they'll keep you.
They'll keep you, of course they will. A text says, I'm hating work at the moment. I think I've got a bad reputation here for the wrong reasons. Is there any way I can correct that?
Gosh, well, it all depends on how that reputation has been formed. Because I suppose there is a conditioning that happens, and with people in the workplace, where over a period of time they just get conditioned to having a view of you. That takes a little bit of time to change. What I would be advising that person is, are there opportunities to get involved in projects? Is there anything that would give you a chance to take ownership on a on a document or a proposal that would mean you could deliver it on time to a very high level, that can be indicators of success. And that's probably where I'd lean to on that one.
All right. Sometimes the boss might make you a counter offer, but ultimately it's the physical act of saying goodbye. Where and when? I mean, is it over a coffee? Is it lunch? Is it going out the door on a Friday saying, won't be back again? And what's the classiest way to do it?
Well, the classiest way to do it is, again, probably how you would try and do a breakup with another person. Text never really works.
Correct.
Email never really works. And you remember in Jerry Maguire where he was brought to the restaurant, a nice loud place? That probably didn't work
either.
Face-to-face is the advice, and there probably never is a really good time, but I'd be trying to do a face-to-face one-to-one. There's a thing in communication called the hierarchy of communication, which is kind of what is the best way of having impact and connection with a person, and that tends to be one-to-one, face-to-face. So I'd always be trying to do it. The people you should be dealing with are the ones who are most important to you, so probably your boss, who needs to know it first, and then trying to get ahead of the trickle as it goes down through the grapevine to friends, close colleagues, who would appreciate to hear it face-to-face, rather than did you hear from Mary in the canteen that you happen to be leaving.
The back of the hand stuff. I've been out of the workplace for quite a while, a text says, and I'm trying to get back in, but I can't account for the gaps in my CV. Essentially, I've been travelling.
Yeah, that's something that, again, is one of the things that you would see that, well, travelling is actually gives you a bit of a narrative. At least you can say, look, I wanted to go around visiting places, I wanted to see the world, and now I have had that out of my system. Yeah, that's quite a lot of people.
I agree with
that.
You. I think travelling is a plus. If I was an employer, especially, well, you know, I would see as somebody with a bit more open-minded, maybe, and with a bit more experience in the world. I wouldn't hide that.
No, totally. And that can go on the CV, and that's probably how you should explain it, visiting, travelling the world, because I think it's an easy explanation. And as an employer myself, one of the preferences I would have is being able to look at somebody who's probably around their early 30s and having travelled already, because then you know they're not going to be heading off in a couple of years on a round the world trip.
Yes.
So I wouldn't try and hide it. What you then need to be looking at is, okay, well, who are the types of people I would know? Do I have any network of people developed that could be useful for me to get in front of them and meet them for an interview? But travelling shouldn't be something that they hide. In fact, should be explained very clearly on their CV that they were travelling, say, East Asia and looking through that.
Exactly. Okay, good advice. I had somebody say, I had an exit interview a few years ago in which the member of the HR department conducting the interview stormed out of the room when I said I wouldn't return to the company. And I must add that I was made redundant from this company, so leaving wasn't my choice. That left a bad taste in my mouth. Exit interviews are bullshit, as far as I'm concerned. So some people are just not into them.
Totally.
There's like a debriefing before you move on.
Yeah, I have never really, particularly never really found the benefit in it for the employee leaving. You know, I can't see why saying anything is
how they gain from
it. And then I'd wonder how much good stuff does the organisation get and does the employers get? So by sitting down and questioning them. So I tend to find them a slightly unusual interaction that doesn't really render any positive outcomes for anybody.
How do you say goodbye after being made redundant? So that's the involuntary departure.
Yeah, and that often will completely leave a bad taste in the mouth, where people will again want to say, well, look, I'm very annoyed or upset or whatever the description would be.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I have found is if that exit has been managed well and if you've managed to maintain relationships, for example, there's someone who I know particularly well who went through that process, but having gone through it, their manager who they worked with spent a lot of time trying to get them into other organisations through their network, people they knew, people they were connected with. So the relationship, one of the things I would have started this with, of the importance of it, is actually a very useful thing. So it would be thanking them for it, moving on, and then seeing are there opportunities elsewhere through that network you will have developed.
Okay, good. Now, somebody's having difficulties with other team members. This is going to resonate with a lot of people this morning. Having difficulties with other team members who are very good at taking credit for my work. I'm not the most outgoing and I feel I'm being taken advantage of.
Yeah, that's something that happens
very regularly,
common, where they put in a lot of the work and then either the better communicators or the more extroverted people take the credit. What it is being able then is to, we'll see what areas are they actually taking the credit for. But it, like, for example, there was a woman who I was working with in a hospital setting where a similar thing began to happen. And really what she began to was just touching base with her boss and updating them herself on that. That said, look, this was a thing I have done, found it worked very well, a thing I learned for it, something relating into the future, that she began to do the updates herself and in project updates actually took the responsibility. But part of it will be pushing herself out there a little bit more, which she did, and that could be something for that texter there.
Okay, good good advice all around. I'll do one more before we say goodbye, which is going back to a full-time position after maternity leave. The job doesn't really suit me any longer because of long hours and the daily commute being 3 hours. So how much notice do I have to give my boss? I mean, that's probably more...
How much notice do I have to give my boss for the
maternity? Yeah, full-time because the job isn't doing it. I suppose telling them that they're not going to be going back to them anymore.
Yeah, well, one of the big things is that I think upsets employers is the sense of being left in the lurch.
Right.
And if they can get a heads up as early as possible, that'd be very useful. There's a woman who I was working with who was on maternity leave who actually got another job whilst on maternity leave, which is a typical enough thing. And her boss was very good to her while she was away and didn't want to let him down. So she actually took less time on her maternity leave and went back in to help on handovers, to help with her colleagues, to help the new person who was replacing her to get a handle of client relationships. And that left actually, again, a very good sense of her within the organisation, and she felt her boss appreciated it. But I think whether you're leaving because of maternity leave or leaving for a new job, what you're trying not to do is leave an employer in the lurch.
Okay, I have the book title for the training manual you're going to write in a few years' time. It's going to be called What Would George Do? And I think that pretty much sums up the vibe to where you were going with this. Owen McDermott, Director of the Communications Clinic and Head of Training, communicationsclinic.ie for more information. Thank you so much for your time this morning.